there. Sheila Hamill here on Radio Tyneside with New Day Dawning. And a very warm welcome to everyone who's listening in today. Thank you so much for joining me. Today is the beginning of the Advent season for Christians. The word Advent means the arrival. And it's a time when we look forward to the arrival of Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem and also as a king who will one day return to earth in great glory and splendour. This Advent message that we're looking at today, though, is the second one, which tells us to get ready and be prepared for a time when Jesus will return to earth in great glory to gather those who belong to him. So let's begin with a song that contains words we'll be hearing a lot of at this time of the year in our Christian churches. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, not the Godspell version. Here's Robin Mark singing Days of Elijah.
Of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord, and these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
When I was a young child in Sunday school, many moons ago, one song fascinated me. I grew to love it, and in a very short time I'd learnt nearly all of the words. It was a song full of hope and promise, because the King was coming soon. There was a real excitement about it, and I loved it. The verses of this hymn have helped form the outline of my talk today. It was called There's a Light Upon the Mountains. The first verse says this: There's a light upon the mountains, and the day is at the spring, when our eyes shall see the beauty and the glory of the King. Weary was our heart with waiting, and the night watch seemed so long, but his triumph day is breaking, and we hail it with a song. Just thinking of it now reminds me of the time when we as school children lined up to see the Queen and Prince Philip ride through our town in their limousine. We were so excited standing there with our little flags. She'll be here soon. Get ready. Keep your eyes open, the teachers told us. Here's a different version of the same song, sung by a group of schoolboys who call themselves Libera, a name which is chosen because it means to be set free, as it expresses the flight and the thrill of the boys' harmonies. It's a song from their album Peace, called Exultate, and it calls all people to rejoice and look forward to the coming of the Lord.
There's a light upon the mountains, and the day is at the spring, when our eyes shall see the wonder and the glory it will bring. Exultate Domino in laetitia, exultate Domino gloria. Sing
The soloist there was Ben Phillips. I hope you all enjoyed that. I certainly did. This idea of waiting in hope and excitement for a light to dawn on the world reminds me of a story of a passenger who was travelling east on an overnight flight. His friends had told him to keep his eyes open for the spectacular sunrise. So he watched the dark skies and waited for the dawn. He was determined to keep awake. At first, he saw a faint glimmer of light, which then became a thin, bright line of fire, which seemed to hang there for ages. Then eventually, the light of dawn simply burst out in all its glory, and he gazed on in awe. Passengers around him were just beginning to wake up. Some had been awake but hadn't realised what was happening. But suddenly, they began whispering to one another, "Look, there's the sun!" It was there upon them before they realised. So too it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. We're told we must keep alert, keep watch for him. Here's a hymn called "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending," sung by the Cambridge Singers. Christians stand up in church services to declare what they believe in. This is called the Creed, and in one section of it we all say, "One day he," that's Jesus, "will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Our reading today tells us why we believe this. It's from Luke 21, 25-36. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, with great power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on your guard then, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Let's listen to Jordan Sparks singing, "I Wish We'd All Been Ready."
Life was filled with guns and war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject, and you can contact us online at info@radiotyneside.co.uk. This is Radio Tyneside Hospital Radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the Ward Entertainment System, on 1575 AM in the hospital community and on Radio Player. Jesus also taught his disciples that the world would in time come to experience disasters and earthquakes, famine and plagues, that many people would be deceived by false teaching, that there would be a godless and self-centered society, and that love would grow cold. There would be disruption of family life, great fear of the future and persecution. And just like birth pains, these happenings would grow worse and more intense until the final day. Jesus said it would be a time rather like the days of Noah, with many caught unaware. In Luke 17 he says, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man." Let's remember there was much scepticism and mockery then, as Noah built the ark on dry land. But he listened to God, obeyed, and the flood did come. So what will happen when Jesus does arrive? He described the last days to his followers in the form of many parables with various images. Here in this reading he tells of a fig tree ready for harvesting. Elsewhere he described a thief in the night coming at a time when people least expect him, and of a harvest where the good grain is separated from bad, and of a catch of fish being sorted. He also spoke of a place of judgment, where people will be separated into two groups, the sheep and the goats. Let's listen to that parable, the parable of the sheep and goats, from my Kaleidoscope of Characters album, which explains what the King will be looking out for in his people when he comes.
When the Son of Man in glory comes and sits upon his throne, he'll gather all the nations in and let his mind be known. For like a shepherd he will make a sheep and goat divide. He'll put his sheep upon his right, the goats his left hand side. He'll say to those upon his right, come all my faithful ones, heirs of the Father, blessed by him, your inheritance has come. I was hungry and you fed me, my dreadful thirst assuaged. You made the stranger welcome, all my troubles you allayed. You clothed me, gave me comfort, when ill gave love so free. And when in prison I was lost, you came to visit me. When you did this to the very least of all my family, you did it not just unto them, you did it unto me. Depart from me, you who are cursed, to the others he will say. Eternal fire will be your lot, now is your judgment day. I was hungry, I was thirsty, you sought a self instead. I was a lonely stranger, but you turned away your head. I needed clothes and I was ill, you did not heed my cries. And when in prison I was lost, you left me there to die. When you ignored the very least of all my family, not only did you not help them, you gave no help to me.
There are those who say this kind of teaching and this kind of imagery was all to do with then and what would follow, and not about a day of reckoning in the future. And they point to verse 32, which says, "Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place." But the word generation can also be translated as race, giving the sentence a far different slant. There are also those who will say we shouldn't take such stories literally, and that we should look only to the spiritual significance in them, where Jesus comes to enter into our lives and change us from within. But that takes away from what Jesus and the New Testament taught elsewhere on the subject of his return. At the other end of the spectrum, there are believers who tick off the many prophecies Jesus made about the lead-up to his return, like a checklist, and they claim there are very few left now to be fulfilled. But both believe that we have been warned that we should be living the kind of life God expects of us. David Pawson, a well-known evangelist, on the subject of Jesus' return one day to earth, once said, "I would rather invite you all to be prepared and ready for the return of Jesus, and for it not to happen, than to preach it will not be so, and for it to catch you unawares." By Jesus' life and death on the cross, and by his example, we are given a new perspective on how to live our lives. Once our lives are transformed by him, we can then have an impact on others. This is what he called the kingdom of heaven on earth, where he would rule and abide in people's hearts. But he also taught that at his second coming, he would suddenly appear in great glory, and everything hidden would be exposed and justice would be done. In Matthew's Gospel 16:27, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Here's a hymn by Red Mountain Music, a well-known hymn called "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence."
Let all mortal flesh keep silent, and with fear and trembling stand. Ponder nothing earthly minded, for with blessing in his hand, Christ our God.
So yes, Jesus predicted he would return in the future, but he also expected us to live properly in the present. There are often barriers in our hearts which must come down. Barriers made up of pride, lack of love, wayward attitudes, hardness of heart, and loyalty to other gods. If Christ is to enter into our lives, all must be surrendered to him. Jesus also warned his disciples that they would face tribulation, struggles and persecutions, and they must be cautious and wise. But he reassured them that they would never face such troubles alone. And Jesus said more than once that those who stood firm to the end would be saved. Before Jesus ascended, his disciples asked him when he would set up his kingdom. And Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority." And yet all through history, people have been predicting when it will happen. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, angels lingered at the spot and said to the disciples, "This same Jesus who's been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." We're going to finish with a very powerful hymn which originated in Zimbabwe and is built around words from Revelation, the last book of the Bible. The one who speaks here declares, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And verse 16 tells us that the voice is that of Jesus. Throughout that final chapter, he keeps saying, "Behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Yes, I am coming soon." Is our response like the one that follows in the last few verses? "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." But would we be ready to receive him? May God bless you all, especially those of you in hospital today as we end this song. Bye for now from Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick. Please join us next week for more on the next Advent theme, which is John the Baptist. So now I leave you with the hymn, "You Are Alpha and Omega," by Israel and the New Breed. Bye for now.
Sing it again. You We give you all, we give you all, we give you all.